Hi, I'm Orbert Davis, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Cast Series, where we sit down with music legends as well as rising stars to hear their stories. This monthly series is all about sharing experience and knowledge with you. Thanks for tuning in. For more, visit chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. Let's do it. Boy, it's so good to see everybody, and I'm so excited for this next 50 minutes, I guess it's going to be. First, I want to say that all of you students are part of a family. We could call it a community, a family, and that's the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic family. And you play a very important part being students, because almost everything we do is directed to education. And we're just so glad that you are taking such a big part of your summer, right in the prime of your summer, to spend some time with us. But the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic family and community, if you will, extends past you, the students. You know, we have our staff, we have a board of directors, we have an audience, which some of you and mostly all of you are part of that as well. But we have a very important part of our family, and that's the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic musicians. And so we are just so honored, and I am just so excited to have this conversation with the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic pianist. See, my desk got excited too. Like, talk about tiny desk concerts. But anyway, I'd like to introduce you to Leandro Lopez Varade. And before we bring him on to talk, I'm going to play a little clip of Leandro. And this is Chicago Jazz Philharmonic in concert at Symphony Center, where normally the Chicago Symphony plays, but we had a great concert that night. We're playing a piece written by the great Gunther Schuller. And so it features the full orchestra, and this is the section with Leandro on piano. Check it out. All right, Leandro, welcome to Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Academy. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Oliver? Thank you so much for having me with you and all these wonderful students. It's beautiful to be here. And also with all these wonderful memories. Oh, my goodness. How long has it been? How long has it been of that?
So that was 2013. So that was almost eight years ago.
Yes, before Cuba. So because that was 2014. Wow.
Exactly. Wow. So the first, let's talk a bit about the clip. It's important to know that everyone knows that you're improvising. And yes. So what is actually on the music paper as you're playing? What are you reading during that?
Yes, what I was reading is was just core symbols. So, and the core symbols were pretty open too. So it wasn't, you know, determined. So it was just, you know, like, it's a kind of a blues, but it's not a blues. I don't know how to explain it.
Classic.
It's long time for just one chord. So imagine that it's like 8 bars for one chord and another 8 bars for other chord, and that's it. But it's just chord symbols. So it gives me a lot of freedom.
So do you think playing over one chord is more difficult to come up with ideas than it is to have different chords?
Yes, definitely. I think it's much more difficult if you want to make a relationship with a tune that probably all the students are working on or not. Otherwise, like it's a famous tune, like it's called So What, that is based just in two chords. I think that it's much more difficult to improvise in that than, for example, to improvise in over Donnelly, because the chord changes when you have the technique, you know, and you study the chord changes, it gives you a guideline so where you can follow. So you say, okay, I'm gonna improvise, I have to be inside of this, inside of that, or I can go out, but it has a guideline. When you have just one chord, the space is much more broader, and you have much more room to improvise, and you can get lost. Really easy.
It's like driving in an open field, maybe, right?
You're right, exactly. So now you start to relay in your other musicians. If you want or not, you have to relay in your other musicians.
Right.
I can hear the bass now. Okay, here we are. I can hear the drums.
Sure. Well, let's talk about you. Where are you from? And just a little bit about your life's journey.
Yes, well, I'm from Argentina, from Buenos Aires, actually, from the capital. And I came to the United States in 2000, end of 1999. And I grew up in a family of musicians. My father was a jazz drummer. My mom is a classical harpist, and she also plays piano and sings and composes. So I was lucky to come from a family of musicians that they never pushed me to be a musician. That's the main thing. they never say you have to be a musician. So that was good. And I came to the United States because I worked with a great bass player from Chicago. His name was L.D. Young. He was one of the former bass players of the former bass player of the Ramsey Lewis Trio. So, and he had at that moment his own group, and I came up because I joined him in his band. And I started to travel, and after travel with him, I established myself in Chicago because I had connections already with L.D. and to start to work.
Ah, well, I've always wanted to ask you, when you played in L.D.'s band, did he ever have to tell you, hey, play it more like Ramsey?
No, he never said any word. You know, that's the reason, because it was one of the, my part of my heart goes with L.D. because he gave me my first opportunity, you know, to grow up in jazz and music, you know, that I wanted to do it. And also gave me one of my first jobs, if you want to call it real jobs. and he never say, as a leader, I think that was an example of a leader. He never said anything. He just let me grow anything. Mm. So I was just playing and learning. And when something was good, he was smiling and saying, oh, this is good, you know, he liked it. And I remember the only thing that he wanted for us, for the whole band, not just me, was just show up on time. So you have to be on time in your job, do your job, and leave, and no complain, play the music, and that's it. He never interfered in anything of, if you want to call it, in your life. So he let you do your life.
But I was going to ask you, so your first, you said it was your first job, official job. Was that in the United States, or where did you perform?
That was actually in Singapore. So
in Singapore?
He was traveling to Asia because he was working like 4 or 6 months of the year in Asia, especially in Singapore at that time. So actually it wasn't my first job. It was like my first big job, if you want to call it, because I was playing in Argentina and I was teaching in Argentina. But this was an engagement that required me to play for 6 days a week.
Wow.
So the only day that I had off was Sunday. And the job was five, I think that the first one was 5 hours. So we played five hours. Yeah, every day. Oh. So I'm blessed. You know, I say, well, that I'm, you know, I say thank you, Lord, for this opportunity in my life, because I had actually the opportunity to play for 6 or 5 hours every day during 4 months. Wow. So without stopping. So that was a learning curve for me. That was great. Yeah. Great.
And to be employed, to get paid while doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm doing what I wanted to do, because I wanted to play jazz music. So so I said, well, that was heaven.
Yeah. So what style of music did you play in Argentina?
In Argentina, I was playing mostly, I play some jazz, but, you know, there is not a constant, you cannot work constantly playing jazz. So you play, you know, just clubs there, you know, once in a while, something, but you cannot play frequently, if you want to call it, because there is not a scene, or at that moment it wasn't a scene, it was a difficult time in Argentina also. So the economy was really bad. So it didn't help. But mostly that's what I was doing, playing some clubs, and I was teaching at the university. So at that moment.
Nice. So let's talk about classical music. Did you play classical music as well?
Yes. Yes, I was trained as a classical musician, actually. You know. So I started piano when I was 10 years old. I started to study with a teacher, with a classical piano teacher. When I was 10, and then I went to the college, university there, for music composition, and that was when I was 19. I started in 18, and I finished at 23. So. And all during that time, I was taking private lessons with a classical piano player.
Wow, that's awesome. So there's two things I want our students to understand. One is that it's very difficult for me to interview Leandro because I know all the answers already.
Yes, you're right. We're family, like you said.
That's right. And I have to say that Leandro, you are one of my favorite musicians in the entire world.
Oh, please. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, no, most definitely. And, you know, there are probably two types of musicians. I think it's the musicians that you don't know, and you listen to as much as you can, and you try to see them when they come to concerts. But then it's the musicians that you work with. Yes. And as a composer, one of the greatest joys for me is to, you know, really work so hard over a composition and then turn it over to the musicians. And I'll just say, students, that whenever Leandro plays anything, it's magic, absolute magic. So
thank you.
That's awesome. So what brought you to Chicago specifically?
Well, my main reason I wanted to come to Chicago was actually was to United States. I didn't know what part, because I didn't know that much about, you know, the history of United States, or mostly the jazz history of the United States. But my main reason was that I wanted to come to learn more about jazz music. So that was the main reason. So I needed to come to actually be in the environment and learn about jazz music here, so where it was born. And I was lucky, because I didn't know at that time. And I started to travel with LD. So I was talking with them and said, okay, you don't come to Chicago? Because, you know, it's always a balance. So you need to make a living too. So it's where I can work. So I have connections already in Chicago. So I said, well, I'm going to be able to work and keep, you know, keep learning about jazz music. And I remember I had to make a hard choice at that moment. I was working with a saxophone player that he was from New York. And he actually said, well, you're going to be in Chicago. You want to be in Chicago? Why you don't come to New York? You can stay with me and study in New York. And I went to New York, and it was really tough for me, because I love the music in New York. New York was the vibe of music, you know, level of music. There is no question about it. It has something. It has a vibe that is particular from New York, and it pushes you to play, and it's really, really nice. But I can tell you a story. I'm not saying that you don't have to go to New York. Please, students, you have to go to New York. I'm not saying that, please, right. But this is my experience. I was already 30 years old. So I wasn't 19, 20, or nothing like that. Please, go to New York. Go. You have to go to New York. But what I'm saying, my experience at the moment was, I was staying with my friend in his apartment, and I was going to a jam session in Harlem at that moment. And that was great. You know, this, when people say, you know, it's dangerous, never happened nothing to me. I don't know. So it's a big city. Yeah, you can have problems like in any big city, but if you are aware about your surroundings, it should be okay. So I wasn't afraid. So I was going in the subway at going to the jam session to Harlem at 9 at evening. Mm-hmm. 9 at evening, the train, I took the train. So the train was crowded, like going to work, I don't know, 7 in the morning, something like that. Crowded. Okay, wow. Good. I get in the train. Great. Wonderful. I get to the jam session. It's good story because that day was the day that Dizzy Gillespie passed away.
Oh.
So they were doing all the jam session. They were playing just Dizzy's tune. So they didn't want to play anything else. So there was a respect for Dizzy. So I said, we're going to play just Dizzy's tune tonight. So if you want to play in the jam session, you have to play a Dizzy's tune. So that was great. I have a great experience. You know, I love the place, you know, the jam session. So I'm coming back on the train. I take the train that was 4 in the morning, 4 a.m.
Wow.
The train was exactly the same. So it was crowded like 4 in the afternoon. So when I got that image, I said, well, I went back, you know, I'm trying to sleep and I couldn't sleep. I said, well, if I decide to stay here in this in that situation at the moment, when I'm gonna sleep? So when they say, you know, that the city actually is the city that doesn't sleep, you know,
right.
is true. But you know, some people can take it really well. Other people, me, I cannot take it. So I'm a person that I need to have my 8 hours.
Sure.
I get really bad.
Yeah, and that's a lyric from the song New York, New York. Right,
exactly. And you're New York, the city.
It's the city, it never sleeps.
Never sleeps.
So. Wow. Well, let's talk a bit about, so you, after you toured, you played with LD and you're back in Chicago. Well, one of the things that you do now and you're a master at and you actually make a living doing it and it's being a freelance musician. So can you talk a bit about what is a freelance musician and then how that pertains to you?
I want to be happy.
Well, I'll put it this way. There's two other people in your life that you must keep happy.
You're right. You're real true. That's that. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for guiding me. That's what I needed. You want too much space, too much
right.
room, too much core. There's just one core. You need to give me more cores to play.
Oh man.
That's great. No, yes. I have a family. You know, I've been with my wife for. I met her when she was 19. I was 21. So, and I'm 53 now. So we've been I don't know how many years. I cannot count. And I have a daughter that she was born here. So proud of her. She's 10 years old. And yes, well, being a freelance musician is not easy, but I don't think that it's easy for anything. So in life, so everything has any activity has their problems, you know, and their challenges.
Right. So being a freelance musician is based on working. So freelance meaning that you work for multiple people and you have to.
That's it.
The difficulties of that is what happens if you get a call from two people for the same time.
You're right. Well, that's the problem. So you need to stick, you know, with the people that you say yes first. So if somebody call you, you know, for a job in the same day, even if the second one calls you for better money, it's difficult. So you stick with the first one because you already give the worth to that one. If not, you shouldn't give it, you know. It's just like you know, of course, you know, if you have friends already, you can talk about this. It's not that strict. So if it's a friend of you or something like that, you know, understand, they are going to understand too. So it's not that strict. They say, okay, yes, I understand that you need to make that money. So the problem to be a freelancer is that you don't have security money-wise. And that's the big problem of being a freelance. And that's the reason, because a lot of people that when they follow the career of music, they try to get, for example, if you're a classical musician, you want to get in an orchestra because the orchestra gives you, besides that you're playing what you want to do, you know, the orchestra, an established orchestra could give you a security. So that is really important in life. We cannot deny that. It's important. So, and that's a security so that you are looking for, you know, and freelance in that respect is really tough. So the other way that you can balance that, the freelancing is, of course, you know, teaching. So that's a, it could give you some security. So money-wise, so if you teach, you can, you know, like balance the income. And my experience is that you are not going to get rich. So if you're looking to get rich, I don't think that you're going to get rich. It's said that you are, you know, one of the top that make, you know, make a lot of money. Of course, if you are Beyonce, you're gonna make a lot of money, but Beyonce is one. So that's if you relate this with soccer, you know, everybody's talking, oh yeah, I want to be in Argentina. We are, you know, we have soccer players, you know, like you have basketball players, you know, like Jordan, Michael Jordan. Okay, yeah, Michael Jordan is a millionaire. How many Michael Jordans you find in the world?
Right.
And even if you have Michael Jordans that they play like Michael Jordans, how many Michael Jordans had the luck that Michael Jordan had?
Right, right. And they don't have to freelance either.
You're right. So so it's so difficult in that respect. But if you know, you know, how to live, you know, and balance your life, I think that you can live pretty well. So it depends what you are looking for in life.
Mm-hmm. So we have quite a few piano players in mm-hmm. our camp. So talk about the role of a piano player from being a soloist all the way to what we call jobbing or freelancing, all the way to your role in the orchestra.
Well, there are totally different approaches. So I haven't played that much jobbing bands. You know, I did some work, you know, in wedding bands. Jobbing bands is what they call wedding bands. So when people get married and you play, you know, for the cocktail hours and you play, and it could be, you know, really good money if you are in that circle. It's difficult this order. So we will try. I'm going to start for the things that when people likes some things more than the others, no? Everybody, I think, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's in that all the students, you know, can say, well, I like the, you know, vanilla ice cream. I like chocolate ice cream.
Right.
So, okay. So if I have to make choices in music, you know, I will choose, my choice would be to play what I really love to play. When you have to play for a wedding band, you play sometimes music that you don't want to play, but you have to play because that's part of the job. So if you are playing for a wedding band, you have to learn certain songs and you have to do, in a case of a piano player, you need to learn sounds. So if the piano players always, they never play piano in a wedding band. Generally, there are keyboards or synthesizers with different sounds. So you need to prepare in sounds, you need to prepare in different things. That some people are interested in that. So, and they like it. For me, it's a difficult choice because I'm a piano player, mostly a piano player. So I devoted my life to play the piano. So that it requires certain, you know, certain tools that you need to develop to play the piano. So when I have to play a keyboard or have to play something like that, this for me is not that easy first. And also I'm not that interested in sounds like people really are. So mm-hmm. that when they do that kind of work. So I like sounds, but I don't want to spend my time just trying to find a new sound in a keyboard.
Right.
So that's me. That's myself. Some people do it. So what I'm saying is people that had that tendency that probably they like to play keyboards and they like to do a research in sounds, they are more open to play in a wedding band because, you know, they have an attitude to, you know, to play that. Definitely, you have to have different type of mind when you play that music. So, so you have to think about the music. You know, you want to play that music as best as you can. So you have to involve to play that music as best as you can.
So you have to study. You have to study different styles and.
Exactly, you have to study different styles. You have to study different things. Yeah. And that's those are totally different. So you got to actually, that's good, Orbe, that you said that, because to develop, to be a rounded musician, you need to know everything. So unfortunately, you have to work in everything. So you have to work if you want to play jazz, you have to work in jazz. If you want to play classical music, you have to work in classical music. If you want to play in wedding bands, you're going to have to learn pop songs. So you're going to have to work in pop songs. But that's everything is possible. So it's not something right. that is unattainable. So that's something that is, yes, it takes time, of course.
Yeah.
So always it will take time.
Great. Well, let's talk.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk specifically about your approach to playing in the orchestra, in Chicago Jazz Philharmonic.
Well, that's now, you know, Orbert is telling something, you know, I'm trying to talk. I don't know if I'm not looking at the camera a lot of times, so I'm sorry. I'm just looking. But what I'm, Orbert is actually, Orbert was one of the people here in Chicago that make one of my dreams come true, because I'm a classical musician. So I was trained as a classical musician, but I love jazz music and I was trained as a jazz musician too, because my father was a drummer. So. I have both trainings, and always one of my dreams was to combine them, so and play and see, you know, how these two musics could interact, and but trying to create something that is not a jazz musician playing classical music or a classical musician playing jazz music. So, and actually a real marriage, if you want to call it, in between two musics. Mm-hmm. And with Orbert, you know, I had that opportunity. So I said, oh my goodness, thank you, Orbert. I always, it was, thank you. Yes, we can do it. Somebody else also is thinking in the same thing.
That's right.
So that was great. So, and my, you know, my is the wonderful thing to be in the orchestra, that is open. So if, as a jazz musician, a classical musician, you have both worlds. Is the challenge that you have to prepare as a classical musician, because you have to play parts and you have to read different things that they are fixed and they're going to be part of the orchestra. So you are preparing for that. But then you have all this other room that is for improvisation, where you can actually create something. So you will have a core, like in this case, in the clip that you saw, you will have a core, and that's your time. So, and that's when you start to show. So what you can combine everything that is going around.
I'm gonna put you on the spot, Leandro.
Oh,
you got your piano behind you now.
Yes.
I have the pleasure of hearing Leandro play at church, and I'm always amazed is that he would take a hymnal, place it in front of him, and improvise a concerto.
No.
Hey, I know what I'm talking. Hey, I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So, I want you to think of a kind of an easy hymn.
Okay.
And then give us an orchestral introduction on the piano. So tell us a little bit about your process, Leandro. I'm gonna take a picture of this and I'm gonna have it on my screen in no time.
Well, my process is I look at the music like it is. So that is actually well writing, because this is writing like thinking for a choir. Imagine that it's a choir. Mm-hmm. So you have the four parts, you know, the soprano, the alto, the tenor, and the bass. And it's generally, there are chorales, you know, those, all these pieces that are beautiful, you know. So you can, if you have a choir that sing it, it will sound great. But I take this at departure point. So I take this music, what I do is generally an analyze, you know, the chord changes, the chord structure, and then I analyze the melody, so the intervals in the melody. So if I can be clear, if you have any questions, please let me know. I can tell you what I do. Let me show you a little bit. So I'm gonna play the hymnal like it is, so you can hear how it is, and you will recognize it. So that's the whole hymnal, the whole song. No, were you there? So let me see. The sound is okay, all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, yes, because I didn't tell you. Okay, so the first thing that I do is, you can see the melody. Melody has. So that's already give me an idea. So that's the first phrase, if you want to call it, no? Mm-hmm. So, and you can analyze the intervals. So you have between C and F is a fourth, then the perfect fourth, then between the F and A, you have a major third, then repeats, then you have second, another second, a third, second, and second. So it's like a structure, intervallic structure. So, and then you have the harmony. So you can analyze when the chords comes, like. So I'm not gonna spend time in that, but so there is all, you see, all the voices are sounding together. And there are points if you wanna call relaxation, tension and relaxation, is where you have the fermatas. So you wait there. So it's a point where you're on.
So Leandro. Yes. What I want to hear is one of the magical moments where you take it to the point of no return.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Imagine now that you're composing an orchestra around your piano. Yeah. Okay?
That's what I'm going to do, but you know, that's what I want to clear this. This is improvisation now. I don't have anything planned. So sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work. So depends. So that's, you have to be.
It's jazz,
and sometimes you are in the mood. So it's also, it has a lot of things to do. So this hymnals has a lot of power itself. So depends also the moment. So it depends a lot of things. So I'm gonna try to put my mind in this and try to do the best I can. if it gets too long, stop me. Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you. Gracias.
So my question is what goes on through your mind? Because again, if all we have is the basic, you know, melodic structure and three other parts of harmony, what is that? What are you thinking about? So are you thinking about where you are, or are you thinking about where you're going, or where you've been?
Good question. I don't know what I'm thinking about actually. I just let it flow. It gives me I start with the structure, so the structure is like pretty clear. But then there is something that disrupts that, so I want to disrupt that. So it's like I want to create something that brings me to other place. For example, so I can remember a little bit what I did, but I was going to the flat six, you know, the like what is called, you know, like a deceptive cadence. So, and that opened to me another idea. So I said, okay, I can go now from here. Yes, probably I'm looking forward, always I'm moving forward. But then because the theme that is da-da-da-da-da-da, so I have that, that's always is in my mind. So that brings me back. And I think that that's what creates a little bit of unity in everything. So because that's always is in mind. So I want always to keep that in one point. That's the reason because I come back also to sometimes a really clear structure. So where to say, okay, we're here. And I play with that. Actually, I'm improvising. So like I say, sometimes if you tell me now that I need to play the game, I won't play it exactly the same at all. Right. Probably the only thing that I will play the same if I want to remember is that D flat. That's the only half cadence that is the only thing that probably I will remember that I was doing.
Yeah, very interesting.
And I of course, because you told me that you want me to do something orchestral, I try to use the piano, all the rolling in the bass. I'm trying to imagine that they are basses or they are, you know, something like sustaining, because I want to create that kind of sustained sound. Yeah. So over that.
That's awesome.
There is one point that I want to say that there is different with jazz, and that gives me a lot of freedom. And that's probably, that's something that I would like to get sometimes in a strict jazz, and I couldn't get it yet. So I'm thinking how. The thing that I don't have a strict pause in this gives me a lot of freedom. So I'm not thinking in bars. I'm not thinking in tempo. I'm not thinking in almost nothing, except if I get something that is really rhythmic, so I will go there. But there is not a pulse pushing me to change something in certain time.
Sure.
I call it. So I can expand. I think that's proper, more of the classical approach, if you want to call it. And that's what happened with the phrases in classical music too, you know, that they could be, it doesn't have to be four bars, it doesn't have to be eight bars, it could be 15, it could be 21, it could be, depends how the phrase is going.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, we are out of time, but I do want to thank you again. And, you know, one of the things we should probably talk again, the next Chicago Jazz Philharmonic project is called Chicago Immigrant Stories. And so Leandro and I are going to be the main composers for this. And one of the things I want to do is when we sit down and study, we're focusing on Japanese music, Brazilian music, and Ukrainian music. Right. Is to actually sit down and have you do your magic improvisation, and we'll record for the orchestra. We'll compose for the orchestra using your magic compositions. There you go.
That would be wonderful. Yes, I'm looking forward for that. Don't do it last time.
I know. No, every morning it's on my list. You know, as soon as camp is over, I got one more project to finish, and we're going to be flying. We'll have at least a week to do it. Anyway, well, thank you so much, Leandro. Everyone, give Leandro finger snaps. Ladies and gentlemen, Leandro Lopez Varade.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for being here. Keep doing with music. Music is life, like Orbert said. Please don't leave music. Even if you are not a professional musician, music could save your life. Trust me.
That concludes this episode of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Cast Series. We really appreciate you tuning in. Sharing these stories wouldn't be possible without the support of listeners like you. To hear previous episodes, or to make a donation, or to simply learn more about our mission, please visit us at chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. See you next time for the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Conversation Series.